So, now that...
FC2203, you can tie this off first. Get it tied from the end. Counter number 311. Read the tag first, or you want to take it off first?
This is of their equivalent from Tahiti. Made with a coconut top. That's a small, a very small coconut top. And 15 arrows inside it. A set such as this isn't the very greatest rarity. And the only others I know are in the British Museum. They've got a few of these arrows, about three or four. The bamboo quiver was originally in the United Service Museum and was transferred to the British Museum and parted with as a duplicate to Partington, to H. Partington. That's his writing on, and this is the United Service Museum. No, that's the British Museum. No, it isn't. Christie Fund, yes. This is the this one, Christie Fund, is British Museum.
Oh, yes.
You see, it's Christie Fund.
What does the USM stand for?
From the United Service Museum.
Oh.
That's where they got it from. That's what they put on. But this is the United Service Museum number. That's Partington. This is mine. Now you have the four people who had it.
This is number 460 in the Fuller catalog.
And this is what I'm reading from, you see. And Partington, who dated it, 1792.
Yes.
For some reason, I don't know why, he had something to go on. 1792 is the Service Museum or something, you see. So 1792 is a fairly early thing for an object. The stopper came from the London Missionary Society's museum. It was the quiver only. As did also 13 of the arrows. I put them together. Two others being from the Chichester Museum, the two other arrows. This was purely the quiver, you see. See, one arrow engraved. Total length, 39 and a quarter.
For the quiver, the length, is that it?
Yeah, I suppose it is, but what I thought we already had, I don't know if that's the arrows. Didn't I give a length before? No, I didn't. No, that must be the quiver. Well, now I'll show you how it's done. I've put it on, but I haven't taped the material. Of course, but I haven't taped it. I've done it with a bit of black string. And you'll see a black string goes up. It's tight. This is done from the British Museum one, which is perfect. And then that top, you see, it's drilled exactly like those little ones. They're the little arrows. Now, the little arrows are quite unlike any other South Sea ones. You see, they're little hardwood let in with gum, let into the bamboo, little canes, and then fixed there with gum. As far as I know, the British Museum ones and these are the only ones existing of these arrows. This, I take it, is the carved one, which I put in that way. Or the edge gun or something. Do you see any marking on it?
No.
It's along the hill.
This one is edged.
Oh, that's the one that's edged, isn't it? I suppose it wouldn't go in. I suppose one wouldn't go in the proper way, so if I put it there. They're notched arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's the little carving. Bit of perfunctory, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Looks more like little scratches to engage the gun. Little roughening. Oh, I don't know. Anyhow, the carving or the etching can't be much. I don't think we need go further.
Well,
quiver here. So there'll be 13. Of course, these things are very valuable. They're worth pounds each, of course.
Well, we ought to add that to your list then. Where is your paper?
Well, of course, it's a little bit of paper here. I added to it afterwards. Tahiti. Arrows. We haven't given them a number, have we? Just the quiver.
We haven't given the arrows a number, no.
FC
2203.
2203.
So you can count 13.
That's 13. We won't count that.
Yes.
Because that's part of the We've recorded that, you see.
Yes.
Now you see how it works. Mm-hmm. You see, the goes into that hole, and up the shaft, engages with the strings here, and you'll find one. I've got another one of these tops from the London Missionary Society in my drawer, and that's got the original Senate attachment still,
through it,
you see. To tighten it, you just pull that down. Very effective way. And then put this down. I've got it probably tighter than they have, or it's got tighter. It's very effective. It won't come off. She's quite tight. Yes, that was one of the pieces that I was particular to get from him, you see. I didn't get the spectacular things so much. I got the really interesting and rare pieces. Some of the spectacular ones were like that turtle shell mask and things, but they were equally rare. I don't even want to read those labels if there's any difference. Just don't read them out, but just see if there's any difference in what I've said.
Well, the this label goes to the stopper. And
oh, is that it?
It's simply beyond what you have said, that the specimen in the British Museum is from the Vancouver collection.
Oh, that's right.
And you purchased the stopper 31 May 1910 from the London Missionary Society. I have no doubt this is one of the specimens, parenthesis, the other stopper I have also, parenthesis, described in the Society's catalogue as follows, quote, 75, 76, period, quivers of bamboo, the lower end closed by a small movable coconut shell, Tahiti, unquote. Then you give references here to Edge Partington, Vol. 1, Plate 34, Number 9, and Ratso, Vol. 1, Page 210. The other label here is just as you have said.
On the binding, isn't it?
Yes.
Or on the arrow.
You should add two more to your arrows, because 13 are from the London Missionary Society Museum, and two are from the Chichester Museum.
Is that what I said, yeah?
Yes, but I think you only added 13, didn't you?
Ah, yes, yes,
you're
right.
You want to add two more.
Yes, 15, that's right. Yes, that's right.
The greatest part of the United Service Museum was transferred to the British Museum and placed in the Christie Collection in 1896, and this quiver, being incomplete, was labeled duplicate, and finally sold to Mr. Partington. Went on to talk about that. You give the same references here to Edge Partington, and to give the same references here to Ratzel, and indicate that you purchased it from Edge Partington on 7 March 1913.
Hmm.
That's it.
Referring to the no, this Christie label isn't on. No, that is a duplicate label, you see. The Ross Museum got it from the United Service Museum. They put that on in 1896. They got it on the 4th of November, 1896, transferred from the United Service Museum, then put into the Christie Fund that you just mentioned, of the British Museum. Then BC, as Christie Collection, duplicate. It was then parted with to Partington. He parted it to his number was D12. He parted it to me, and my number was 460. I passed it to you, and your number is FC2203. So that gives five different owners of the thing.
Quite a history.
What?
Quite a history,
it is, isn't it?
Well, together with the stopper, the length of this specimen is 100 centimeters, exactly.
And I expected the truth were known.
Exactly.
And I expected the truth were known. They have got an earlier history still where the United Service was existing at the time. And that was sold up, I believe, about that time. It was parted with. It wasn't sold out because it, at that time, it was parted with. It wasn't sold out because it was a raffle. And one man got the things, all cook. Many hundreds, thousands. Well, I don't say it was quite as big as this one of mine, but in quality, 10 times better, of course, because they had all these feather cloaks and feather idols for the dozens. And a man with a £1 ticket got the lot. It had been the nation turned it down. If the British Museum, and the nation turned it down, if the British Museum had only taken it for £50,000, there'd be no other museum could approach it in anything. I mean, it was such a colossal collection of all historical pieces. Well, finally, it was put on a show then, after it was bought by this man, and was kept on a show in the Egyptian Hall.
What was his name?
That man was, forgotten his name, the first man who had it. It was always known as the Liberian Museum. Can't remember the raffle man, who wasn't a scientific man at all. He simply went into a raffle like any of us might have done. And when it was knocked down him, well, he decided to become a showman. And he showed the things still as the Liberian Museum. And for some time it was shown in the old Liberian house, which was just out of the river near Blackfriars Bridge. Formerly it had been in Leicester Square. And then Lever, who was a very rich man, Sir Ashton Lever, who formed the collection,
Nothing to do with the Lever brothers?
Oh, no. Lever brothers were 200 years later.
This was that early?
Some private man, he was a baronet. Some rich county family. But yes, he bought these things wholesale, and had, because his things were largely... He had hundreds of thousands of specimens altogether. How many thousands of thousands of specimens altogether? But the British then, but they didn't. Then had finished made his pile from it, and decided to sell it. And he put it up to auction. And I think it was a 28-day sale. But the great majority were bought in by a man called Bullock. And he went on with the collection, showing it. But it was then known as the Bullock Museum. He bought most of the lots. But quite a number of lots were not bought. And some of the lots that he didn't buy were bought by Austria. And form now the Cook Collection in Vienna. But all the Viennian specimens. And some were bought actually by the London Missionary Society. And one of those pieces that they bought, which I believe I'm telling you a bit of history which is totally unknown to anybody else. I came across that the London Missionary Society, of course, passed over to the British Museum and is there now. And they think it was brought back by a missionary. And it was brought back by one of the Cook expedition and is a Cook specimen. Brought back and went into the Lever Museum. And from that bought by the London Missionary Society. And another man who bought was Vancouver. Now, you've just mentioned Vancouver there. And I've very little doubt. Vancouver again. Did he buy a feather idol? I think he did. But I don't know whether that was the Liberian one or not. I actually came across the one. I think the lots fetched sixpence and so on. These feather cloaks, you know, £2. Things of that kind, you know. Just absurd. Just absurd. Well, anyhow, I think Vancouver, I believe most of the things probably came from Lever and not from the things he got himself. But of course, they've all gone down as Vancouver, as if he'd collected them in Hawaii, which of course he visited various times because he was a trader. He was employed by the Hudson Bay Company, I think, for furs, after he travelled with Cook. He was a naval captain. So that's the special, that's a little history of the Lever.
Yeah.
The Lever collection. And then, let's see, I think Bullock, it was finally disposed of then. I think all were sold. And that was another sale of some 20-odd days. When the Bullock collection. 20-odd days. When the Bullock collection. Bullock went on collecting. And he made a very good collection of of ancient Mexican things. And some of ancient Mexican things. And some of the British Museum. Well, scientific. He went out there himself and studied the natives for his own edification, you know, in the field, so to speak. Of course, he didn't do it like we do now in the field. They just collected the objects and brought them back, found out a little bit about them, and they were satisfied with that.
Well, that's quite a specimen.
They were there, they were exhibited during the last two people at the Egyptian Hall in Selma and Piccadilly.
And you wouldn't be at all surprised if this specimen hadn't come from that Liberian.
As he said, 1792, I should imagine that probably came from the Liberian Museum to the United Service Museum. All these people were buying these things, you see.
How did that name, United Service Museum, come into being? What does it mean?
It means the United Service of the Army and Navy. Or rather, the Navy and Army. The Navy being the senior service, of course.
Why do they have a museum of that kind? Does it have military things in it?
Entirely military and naval.
That's the service.
Still existing.
Yes. Only the dioramas of battles from the First World War and models of airplanes and ships.
Well, they've got everything to do. Have you been inside?
Yeah.
Well, they've got everything to do with military things now.
But in the old days, they had these because they came from naval voyages and that sort of thing.
That and because they were weapons and things of war. But they had a few things like that, I suppose, because they were weapons and things of war. And they weren't disposed of till quite late.
I see.
And that was one of the things I kicked up a kick and so around with the British Museum. So the British Museum allowed most valuable things which they hadn't got to go into the hands of Beesley. And that was one of the things I tried to show up the whole thing. Well, I could have shown them up, but I thought it would be so damaging to the British Museum and to the name of the country generally. And I was persuaded not to bring it before Parliament. For a Polish scandal. And the next scandal was the Blackmore Museum, which was worse. That was brought by the British Museum and a whole lot by the same thing that Beesley's having. It was so long, this truth.
See, it is.
But I was always warfaring with somebody because they were always against the interests of the British Museum. And I was all for the British Museum, you see. Well, I think that's done those cards.
Yes, I think it has.
I've done all those off. 15 arrows to add there. Now, what about the next thing? I'll keep that, and where's the breadfruit cutter?
It's down here.
Oh, well, you pack that away there.
Well, it's just lying there. Do you want it too?
I thought I might go in with a drawer with the other things. So I don't know if it matters much.
No, it really doesn't.
No, put it down there. That seems heavy. That ought to.